Welcome viewers. Today we have chapter on plant nutrition. So after air and water, nutrition is the important part for plant growth and development. So let us start the nutrition with the plant nutrients. So nutrients are chemical elements that are necessary for plant growth, and essential element was proposed by the Ornon and Stott in 1939, who gave three criteria for an element to be considered as essential. These are: a plant must be unable to complete its life cycle in the absence of the nutrition. It means a nutrient is called essential only when plant is unable to complete its life cycle. The function of element must not be replaceable by another element. So if deficiency is caused by any nutrient, that deficiency should not be recovered or corrected by applying of another nutrient. So if it is not replaceable, then only it is called the essential nutrient. The third one is, the element must be directly involved in the plant metabolism. So there must be a specific function of plant nutrient in the plant metabolism. According to these criteria, total 17 nutrients have been considered as essential plant nutrients. But this criteria seems to have exception, like according to criteria number 2, functions of an essential nutrient cannot be replaceable, but some essential nutrients can be replaced, for example, molybdenum by vanadium, chlorine by bromidium, potassium by rubidium, and calcium by strontium. So this exception seems that this criteria is not complete, whereas some nutrients like sodium, cobalt, vanadium and selenium have important function in some plants, but these nutrients are not considered essential. So this shows that above criteria are too rigid from practical point of view. Therefore, Nicholas in 1961 proposed term functional nutrient for any nutrient that has function in plant metabolism, whether it is specific or not. Accordingly, cobalt, sodium, vanadium and silicon are considered as functional nutrients. So these are the 17 essential nutrients, and carbon, hydrogen and oxygen are the basic nutrients because this makes about 96% of total dry weight of plants. And these are, carbon is taken by as CO2, hydrogen is taken as water, and oxygen is taken as O2 and H2O. 6 are the macronutrients, which are nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium, calcium, magnesium and sulfur. Out of 6 macronutrients, 3 are primary nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium. These are primary nutrients because they are required in large quantity. Calcium, magnesium and sulfur, they are secondary nutrients because their importance is secondary, and they are mainly available through the application of these primary nutrients. Micronutrients are nutrients which are required in very small quantity, and these are iron, manganese, zinc, copper, boron, molybdenum, chlorine and nickel. Nickel is the last and latest known essential nutrients. It is given essential by the Brown et al. In 1987. So, the plant nutrition, the process of absorption, translocation and assimilation of nutrient by the plant is known as plant nutrition. So, absorption is nothing but intake of something, and it is mainly by the two processes, active and passive. When concentration is low in the soil and plant need to extract nutrient by expending energy, it is called active absorption. And when there is a much concentration of nutrient is there, and it is mainly absorbed by the transpiration stream, it is called passive absorption, where no use of energy is there. Translocation is movement of nutrient from one place to another place, and the nutrients are absorbed by root hair and enter the cortex region. From there they enter the xylem vessels, and from there they enter the leaves, and in the leaves they make the food, and the reduced compound enter the phloem vessels and translocated to growing points like young leaves, roots, fruits, etc. Assimilation is the metabolic transformation of inorganic plant nutrients into the organic plant constituents in the plant system. So, one by one, we will discuss the how nutrients are assimilated in the plant system. So, assimilation of nitrogen, it is mainly absorbed as the nitrate and ammonium ion, and it is assimilated in the three processes. One process is nitrate to nitrite, and this process is under the enzyme called nitrate reductase, and the reducing power in this reaction is supplied by the nicotine amide adenine dinucleotide NADS, and the deficiency of molybdenum blocks this assimilation because the molybdenum is the part of this enzyme, and if deficiency of molybdenum is there, this enzyme will not work, it will not activated. So, nitrate to nitrite assimilation will be blocked. Next step is nitrite to ammonia, and in this step also this enzyme is working. Reducing power for this reaction is derived from the light reaction of photosynthesis. This nitrite to ammonia conversion can also occur in the dark, and during that time the reducing power is supplied by the respiration. From ammonia to ammonia acids, this ATP is combines with the glutamic acid to form the glutamine and amino acid. This process is known as transamination, and glutamine combined with the ketoglutaric acid to form the glutamic acid. So, again there is a production of glutamic acid, and glutamic acid again combines with the ammonia to form the glutamine. So, this whole process is continued, and ultimately the nitrogen is converted into the different amino acids. Thus, most of the ammonia absorbed by the plant is transformed into glutamine in root cells and transported to leaves, where it combines with alpha ketoglutaric acid to form glutamic acid. Now, assimilation of phosphate. Phosphate is absorbed by root, partly translocated to leaves, and a fraction remain in the root. The fraction remaining in the root is assimilated by oxidative phosphorylation. Phosphorylation is nothing but addition of phosphate group to a protein or other amino organic molecules. So, fraction remaining in the root is assimilated by oxidative phosphorylation using energy released during respiration, and the phosphate translocated to leaves is assimilated by photosynthetic phosphorylation, where the energy is released in the light reaction is used in this assimilation. So, adenosine diphosphate with the organic phosphate make the ATP. So, ultimately the phosphorus is used for making the ATP. So, phosphate assimilated into ATP is rapidly transferred by subsequent metabolic reaction into a wide variety of phosphorylated plant constituents like sugar phosphate, phospholipids and nucleotides. Assimilation of sulfates takes place in chloroplast using the energy released during the light reaction. So, sulfate ion reacts with ATP and is reduced to sulfite. Sulfite with the help of ferredoxin reduced to sulfide, and sulfide in turn reduced to cysteine, which is the amino acid, sulfur containing amino acid, and cysteine is further reduced to methionine, and which is occurs in the plastid of the chloroplast. Now, assimilation of cations taken up by the plant cell is mainly in the form of complexes with the organic compound. So, cations taken up by the plant cell form the complex with organic compounds, in which the cation becomes bound to complex by non-covalent bonds. Non-covalent bonds are bonds which does not share the paired electron, means they are not sharing the paired electron, they are in nature of not like the covalent bonds. So, micronutrient cations such as potassium, magnesium, calcium, as well as micronutrient cations such as copper, iron, manganese, cobalt, zinc are assimilated in this manner. The non-covalent bonds formed between cations and carbon compounds are two types, coordination bond and electrostatic bonds. Coordination bond typically form between polyvalent cations and carbon molecules. For example, complexes between copper and tartaric acid this tartaric acid and copper, it make the tartaric acid copper complex, and this dashed line is the coordinated bond between the copper and this oxygen. Another example, chlorophyll A, in which magnesium and nitrogen, they are making the coordination bond, and this dashed line between magnesium and nitrogen indicate the coordination bond between the magnesium and nitrogen. The nitrogen that are assimilated as coordination bond include copper, zinc, iron and magnesium. Calcium can also form coordination complex with the polygalacturonic acid of cell walls. Another is electrostatic bond formed because of the attraction of a positively charged cation for a negatively charged group, such as carboxylate on a carbon compound. Unlike the situation in coordination bond, the cation in the electrostatic bond retains its positive charge. We have seen that in coordination bonds, the cations does not retain their positive charge, but in electrostatic bond, they retain their positive charge. Monovalent cations such as potassium can form electrostatic bonds with the carboxyl group for many organic acids. For example, malic acid, here we can see that this potassium make the complex, and after making the complex, here charge is retained by the potassium. So, in electrostatic bonds, charge are retained by the cations. Divalent cations such as calcium form electrostatic bond with pectates and the carboxyl group of polygalacturic acid. In general, cations such as magnesium and calcium are assimilated by the formation of both coordination complex and electrostatic bonds with amino acids, phospholipids and other negative charge molecules. Now, we have seen how nutrients are assimilated into the plant system. Now, we will discuss what are the function of different plant nutrients and how they are shown the deficiency symptoms in the plant system. So, general function, carbon, hydrogen and oxygen, they make the basic structure in the plant system, whereas nitrogen, phosphorus and sulfur, they are useful in energy storage, transfer and bonding. They are accessory structural element which are more active and vital for living tissue. Whereas, potassium, calcium and magnesium, they act as regulators and carriers and necessary for the charge balance in the plant system. Some elements are involved in enzyme activation and electron transport. For example, all the micronutrients, iron, manganese, zinc, copper, boron, molybdenum, nickel and chlorine, these are the catalyzer and activator in the plant system. So, now we will discuss in detail the plant nutrient deficiency one by one. So, nitrogen, its main function is, it is major component of protein, hormones, chlorophyll, vitamin, enzyme essential for the plant life, and being an integral part of chlorophyll, it is plays key role in the photosynthesis. So, we know that nitrogen is the part of chlorophyll. So, deficiency is shown by the chlorosis of the leaves, and nitrogen also mobile in the plant system. So, whole nitrogen absorbed by the plant is translocated to upper part. So, in lower portion deficiency is shown, and this is shown by the yellowing of lower leaves. Phosphorus is critical component of nucleic acid. So, it plays vital role in plant reproduction and considered essential to seed formation, and large quantity is found in seed and fruits. It is also involved in photosynthesis, respiration, energy storage, transfer, cell division and enlargement. Component phospholipids, it is also component of phospholipids, coenzymes, high energy phosphates like ADP and ATP, and also essential for biological energy transfer process that are vital for life and growth. So, phosphorus is also mobile in plant tissue. Therefore, deficiency occurs in older leaves, but different to nitrogen, the leaves are become more dark in the deficiency of phosphorus. Potassium is not a part of any major plant component, but it plays a key role in vast array of physiological processes in plant growth. from protein synthesis to maintenance of plant water balance. It plays role in carbohydrate metabolism and breakdown and translocation of starch. It activates many enzymes. It regulates water movement across the membrane and through stomata, guard cell functions, thus increase the water use efficiency. It improves the water hardiness. It increases the disease resistance and deficiency symptoms. It starts from the margin of the leaf. And we can see that this margin of leaf is necrotic, the tissue are dead, and it is mainly in the lower leaves because potassium also mobile in the plant and the deficiency occurs in the lower leaves. So, this is the main function, margin necrosis is in potassium deficiency. Calcium is the component of cell wall and cell membrane function. It is largely present in calcium pectate. As we have seen in the assimilation, that calcium makes the coordination bond with the calcium pectate in middle lamella. So, it also translocates photosynthesis from leaves to fruiting organs and increases the fruit set, essential for nut development in groundnut, and stimulate microbial activity in the soil. So, calcium is not mobile, it is highly immobile in plant, therefore, deficiency system occurs in young leaves and new shoots. So, we can see the stunted growth of leaves, growth is reduced and leaf is distorted, typical symptoms of calcium deficiency. And after that, we can see the necrotic spots also on the leaves, and well known deficiency of calcium is seen in the tomato, that is caused bloom end rot, and this is more pronounced due to calcium deficiency. Magnesium is the core component of chlorophyll molecule, so it plays critical role in the photosynthesis. It catalyzes the certain enzyme activity, also activates and component of many plant enzymes, increases iron utilization in plant, it improves the utilization and mobility of phosphorus also. It influences earliness and uniformity of maturity. So, deficiency symptoms if of manganese is seen in lower leaves, and in case of nitrogen we have seen that whole leaf is yellow, but in case of deficiency only intervenal portion, these are veins, intervenal portions are yellow. So, veins are green and between veins portions are yellow. So, this is the deficiency symptoms of manganese in the older leaves. Sulfur is the component of amino acids, mainly two amino acids, methionine and cysteine. It is also constituents of coenzyme and vitamins. It is responsible for pungency and flavor in onion, garlic and mustard, and also necessary in chlorophyll, even though it is not a constituent, but it helps in chlorophyll formation. So, deficiency systems occurs in the new leaves because it is less mobile, and so new leaves are deficient and symptoms are yellowing of leaves. So, we have seen the yellowing of leaves in nitrogen also, but in case of nitrogen older leaves are yellow, but in case of sulfur new leaves are yellow. So, this is the difference between deficient symptoms of nitrogen and sulfur. Iron is a component of cytochromes that is needed for photosynthesis, and it is also essential for nitrogen fixation because it helps nitrate reductase enzyme and respiration, and also it acts as nitrogen carrier. Deficiency symptoms of iron occurs in new leaves, and it is mainly seen intervenal chlorosis, means veins are green but between veins portion is yellow. So, intervenal chlorosis is seen in new leaves and new growth, and in severe condition this leaves is turns into the white. So, we have seen in magnesium also intervenal chlorosis is there, but leaf is not turning to white, but in iron it leaf is turning to white. Manganese is required for chlorophyll synthesis and oxygen evolution during photosynthesis. It activates some enzyme systems and increase the availability of phosphorus and calcium. Deficiency symptoms of manganese are typical the mottled chlorosis. Mottled means some colorful spots are there. So with the colorful spores, chlorosis is there, and this chlorosis is between the main vein. Main vein is green, but between the main vein, the part is chlorotic. There is a lack of green color. So it is similar to iron chlorosis, but in iron case, that leaf is turned to white, but in manganese, it is not so. Zinc is also involved in protein synthesis and IAA synthesis in the plant system. It also helps in the plant enzyme system. Typical deficiency symptoms of zinc are occurring both on old and new leaves, and leaf become narrow and small and grows suppressed due to plant interload, length is reduced, so whole growth of plant is reduced, and due to reduced growth looks like bushy, so it is called rosetting. So rosetting symptoms is caused due to zinc deficiency, and its deficiency is more pronounced in rice, where disease is called the khara. So in rice, due to zinc deficiency, we can see here the yellow and bronzing color of leaf due to deficiency of zinc. Copper is also component of several enzymes, including chlorophyll synthesis and carbohydrate metabolism. The deficiency symptoms found on the new leaves, and leaf becomes yellowish and tending towards whiteness, and due to severe deficiency, the leaves loses turgidity. It is not able to maintain its erectness, and so it start to wilt. So under the severe condition, whole plant is wilted, and turgidity is reduced. Molybdenum, as we have discussed, that in nitrogen assimilation, it is the part of nitrate reductase activity, and it is also part of vitamin synthesis. And root nodding bacteria also require molybdenum. Therefore, it is helps in formation of legume nodules in the legume plants, so for the nitrogen fixation, and also it is needed for converting inorganic phosphates into the organic form in the plant system. Typical symptoms of molybdenum are irregular shape of spores on the leaf between the vein. These are irregular spores found on the leaf between the vein, and if we turn this leaf, the backside, some resinous gum is there. If we turn back, the rear side, this resinous gum is there due to deficiency of this molybdenum. And in cauliflower, we see that a whole flower portion is become like whip. So it becomes a whip tail disease, well known disease in the cauliflower due to deficiency of molybdenum. Boron is also involved in the carbohydrate metabolism, and it is essential for flowering, pollen germination, and nitrogen metabolism. It is also necessary for the sugar translocation in the plant system. And boron is immobile, like calcium, boron is also immobile in plant. Therefore, its deficiency is occurring in the new growth and the tip of the leaves and buds. So, due to deficiency, tip is becomes like whip-like structure and brownish. So, tip portion or new growth becomes the deformed, and since it is part of pollen germination, so fruit set also depressed, and in the cauliflower, browning disease is caused. In citrus, hard fruit is caused, and in tobacco, top sickness is caused due to boron deficiency. Is chlorine is required for the photosynthesis, and mainly during the Hill reaction, if chlorine is given, the Hill reaction is better in the photosynthesis. And also interfere with the P uptake, chlorophyll given, the P uptake is better. And deficiency symptoms occur due to chlorosis, lack of green color, and wilting of the young leaves, and also intervenal area become depressed in the deficiency of chlorine, although deficiency symptoms are not so pronounced in the plant system. And latest known nutrient, that is nickel, its main function is known, that it stimulates the component of urease. So, urease is required for the nitrogen metabolism, and nickel is the part of urease enzyme. So, if nickel is not there, nitrogen metabolism will not take place. So, its main function in metabolism, it also stimulates germination and growth of plants, and the typical deficiency symptoms of nickel is seen by the tip burning. The tip necrosis is there, and the, this portion tissue are there in the deficiency of nickel. So, now we have discussed the different deficiency symptoms of nutrient. Now, if we go to field, and then how we can identify different deficiency system. So, just a chart, we can take the health of the chart. So, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium and molybdenum. These deficiency symptoms are occurring mainly on the old leaf. And sulfur, iron, manganese and copper, these are deficient on new leaves. And zinc is deficient both on old and new leaves. And calcium, boron and nickel, these are deficient on the terminal buds. So, now among the NPK, Mg and MO, if we see the tissue, if they are dead, then deficiency symptoms of potassium and molybdenum is there. If they are not dead, then nitrogen, phosphorus and magnesium deficiency is there. Among the nitrogen, phosphorus and magnesium, if we see that leaf is complete leaf is yellowing, then it is due to nitrogen. If the color of leaf is dark green, then it is due to phosphorus deficiency. And if vein is green and intervenal portion is chlorotic, then it is due to magnesium deficiency. So, in this part we have talked about integrated nutrient plant supply system, in which we have talked that there are different sources of plant nutrient, either inorganic, organic or biocomponent. So, only applying through the one source is not profitable, because it leads to imbalance in the nutrient. So, we have to apply different sources of nutrient through the integrated manner, including combination of all the sources of plant nutrition.